Okay, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. So it's been said that the greatest threat to Christianity is not communism, it's not atheism, it's not materialism, it's not humanism. The greatest threat to Christianity is Christians. Christians trying to sneak into heaven incognito, without ever sharing their faith, without ever living out the Christian life, without ever becoming involved in the most significant work that God is doing here on planet Earth. This is exactly the problem that Jesus was trying to remedy with the Sermon on the Mount. Think about the crowd that Jesus was speaking to for a moment. It wasn't a gathering of the United Nations. It wasn't a Congress or Parliament. It wasn't even an assembly at a city hall. It was a crowd, a tiny crowd on a hillside in a tiny spot of land in Palestine. It was a group of common people living common, ordinary lives. They were also under occupation. They couldn't make their own laws. They couldn't plan their own futures. They couldn't determine their own destinies. Yet Jesus said to them, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Now, you guys may think that you're insignificant, but I can tell you that if you're a Christian, you can make an incredible difference in this world. And that's true of all of us who are Christians. We are salt and we are light, but what exactly does that mean? Why does Jesus insist that we need to pass the salt and turn on the light? How are we to do that? First of all, we need to shake the salt on a decaying world. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." Why does Jesus refer to us as salt? Salt is kind of like a miracle. It's chemically composed of sodium and chloride. And you need to understand how valuable salt was back in the days of Jesus. What we take for granted today was like pure gold to them. Salt is a preservative, I'm sure you well know. But 2,000 years ago, they didn't have refrigeration. So it was so valuable back in the Bible days that it was often traded ounce for ounce with gold. Roman soldiers were partly paid in salt. In fact, the word salary is derived from the word salt. If a Roman soldier didn't do his job, he didn't get all of his salt. That's where we get the phrase, "He's not worth his salt." Our world is decaying and it's rotting, and it's our job as salt to preserve the holiness of God and the goodness of Jesus as much as we can. As bad as things are, can you imagine how bad things would be if there were no churches? How bad things would be if there were no Christians? How bad things would be if there were no Bibles? How bad things would be if there were no preachers to preach the gospel? Yes, we need to be salt, but there's also a danger. Jesus goes on to say, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Now, any chemistry teacher is going to tell you that it's impossible in a way for salt to become unsalty. Sodium chloride is one of the most stable compounds in all the universe. It doesn't change, it doesn't change, and it never loses its character. But there is truth to what Jesus is saying. Much of the salt that was used in Palestine, it came from the Dead Sea, which is more than a mile and a half below sea level. The waters of the Sea of Galilee would flow into the River Jordan and from there to the Dead Sea and then to the bottom of the earth. Once the water would get there, there was no place else for it to go, and so the hot sun would just evaporate it and the water would leave behind this chunky white powder made up of a combination of salt and minerals. Didn't realize you were going to get a chemistry lesson today, did you? that powder contains enough salt to season meat or to flavor soup. And that's why people used to get their salt from the Dead Sea. But it's also mixed with minerals, and it's not pure sodium chloride. And it is possible, with a little dampness in the air, for that salt to be dissolved. And when that happens, that salt will lose its saltiness. Now, what does that have to do with you and me? Well, the worst thing that a Christian could lose is not his wealth, his job, his health, his family, or even his life. The worst thing a Christian could lose is their testimony. Because when you lose your testimony, your salt loses its saltiness. It loses its flavor. It's no longer effective. And when that happens, Jesus goes on to say, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It is literally good for nothing at that point. See, the one thing that can contaminate the salt of our lives is the dirt of worldliness. One man said, I looked for the church and found it in the world. And when I looked for the world, I found it in the church. When we conform to the culture instead of transforming the culture, we lose our saltiness. You would think that Christian families would be the salt of the earth. Yet, think about this. George Barna from the Barna Group, you know, where we get all our statistics from, this is what he had to say about children living in Christian homes. He says, young children are watching their parents. They're listening to their parents. And they're trying to put those two things together. And he goes on to say, the problem is they're seeing a contradiction between word and deed. The conclusion that they discovered that children draw is this: what a shame. My parents seem as confused as I am. So this faith thing that they're talking about, it must not have the answers. Barna went on to say that between the ages of 15 to 18 months of age is when most children are forming their worldview. That's crazy at that young. But that's when they begin to shape their worldview. And most children, you know, by the time they reach age 13, it's completely in place. They have made up their mind about what their worldview is going to be. The Barna Research Group found that children under the age of 13 living in a Christian home, only 8% of them had a biblical worldview. Only 8%. And I guess we don't have to imagine why teenage girls in Christian homes, 46% of them have been sexually active. And among teenage boys, 41%. 34% of teen girls and 39% of teen boys have had sex with three or more partners in Christian homes. Armed with that information, is it any wonder then that Lifeway Research found that 7 out of 10 Christian women have had an abortion? That's why Jesus says, salt that has lost its saltiness is good for nothing but to be thrown out. Whenever salt that was brought out from the Dead Sea would be contaminated with other minerals, that would make it taste flat or even kind of repulsive. The salt will become worthless. You couldn't even throw it onto a garden or a field because it would kill what was planted there. So instead, they would just throw it onto the roads where it would just gradually be walked on and ground down into dirt and just disappear. People would just walk over it. The church is being walked on by the world today. There's no respect for the church in this world anymore because we are too much like the world. We use the same foul language. We get drunk with the same beer. We use the same drugs, we watch the same movies, we ignore the same Bible. And the fact is that the average person on the outside of the church looks at the average person on the inside of the church and they say, well, they're no different than I am, so why should I go to church or why should I be a Christian? Christianity still remains the dominant religion in America, but that's because it's been so watered down at this point that it's the easiest one to identify with. The church is losing its saltiness. You want to know why the church is losing its saltiness? Because most churches are hoarders. We hoard our salt. We don't share it with anyone. We look at our salt as so valuable that we keep it to ourselves. Let me tell you something. Salt that stays in the salt shaker, the church, is worthless. It's no better than salt that has lost its saltiness. And unfortunately, that's the direction we seem to be headed. It's time to get uncomfortable and get out of the salt shaker. Be the salt of the earth. The second thing that we need to do is shine our light in a dark world. Jesus goes on to say, you are the light of the world. Now, what's the difference between salt and light? Salt relates to our character. Light relates to our conduct. Salt deals with what we are. Light deals with what we do. We know what light does. It dispels darkness, but it also attracts. If you're in a dark place and you turn on a light, everyone's eyes are going to go to that light. Light is what gives sailors a course to follow across the seas. In less modern times, they used to use the, they would determine a direction by the stars that are light years away. Or the gleam of a lighthouse on the horizon that gives direction and attracts attention. Now, it ought to be obvious, but the reason why Jesus commands that we shine as light is because this world is in total darkness. Several times in the Bible, we're commanded to shine as light in a dark world. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of this of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Then we got Philippians 2:15, "So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Then we have Ephesians 5:8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Did you know that the moon doesn't make its own light? Yeah, that's right. I know, we're full of cool information today. The moon that you see in the sky at night doesn't make its own light. It reflects the light from the sun. Now, some of you may have already known that, but I guarantee you that it's not something that you stop and you think about all the time. So look at it like this. If Jesus is the sun, then we need to be more like the moon, reflecting his light. Jesus goes on to say, "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." Back in the Bible days, they didn't have bulldozers like we have now. So cities were kind of built one layer over another on top of each other. When a city was invaded or it was burned down and destroyed, they would just take all the rubble and they would kind of knock it down and they would use that as the foundation and build another city on top of that one, layer by layer. The ancient city of Jericho was built into a hill or what's called a tell. Therefore, it would be impossible to hide a city like Jericho. Jesus goes on to say in verse 15, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house." You know what the problem is? I think too many Christians believe that they're in the CIA. They are deep undercover. We don't need more undercover Christians. What's the saying for the Marines? What is it? It's first on the ground or tip of the spear. That's what we need. We need more Christians with the mindset of the Marines. We need to be light in a dark world. Notice that Jesus didn't say, "You can be salt," or "You should be light." He said, "You are." That means we need to shake the salt shaker on a decaying world and shine a light to a darkened world. Show them the way home. The final thing we need to do is share the truth to a dying world. Jesus concludes by saying this, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Now that raises a question. How do you know if you're being salt and light? How do you know if your salt is losing its saltiness? How do you know if your light is shining? Here's the test. Do people see your good deeds and give God the glory? Not do you get the glory, does God get the glory? I'm convinced that the two greatest days in the life of a Christian is the day of their baptism and then the day that they realize or they come to understand why they became a Christian in the first place. When you begin to live your life in such a way that people are attracted to Jesus Christ and want to glorify your Father in heaven, you will know that your salt is tasty and your light is shining bright. Do any of you know what the Susan B. Anthony dollar is? Okay, I heard one. Okay, so it only lasted for like 3 years. You know why? Because it looked too much like a quarter. And people didn't like all the confusion. In the public's mind, a dollar ought to look like a dollar. And like it's worth, not just four quarters. Ultimately, the coin just seemed like another piece of change, so it fell out of circulation. A lot of Christians are the same way. You ought to live your life in such a way that it's a reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it not only brings glory to God, but it causes other people to want to glorify God. Now, I don't normally play videos this long in a message, but I wanted to make an exception this week because I saw this video and it left such an impact on me this past week. It really, really convicted me. I think because over the last few weeks, I've been feeling really overwhelmed. You know, we've had a few problems at the house and having to pay for that stuff to be fixed. And then I've got something going on with my health again, and I'm not sure what's going on, but that's not the point. The point is I started feeling sorry for myself. And then I saw this video. The young man in this video is the embodiment of what it means to be salt and light. So let me kind of set this video up, give you a little bit of context here. So this radio station is having this drive to where people can write cards for the military, and they send it in for the troops over Christmas time. Well, someone leaves a white grocery bag on the door handle of the radio station, and nobody wanted to touch it. They finally went and they grabbed the bag. Someone touched the bag, and once they figured out what was in the bag, and it was cards, and who they were from, this is the conversation that ensued.
Stack of cards.
That's awesome.
He hands me the bag and he says, read this card. And it's one orange card. And so I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
Okay. This isn't funny. This is a real card. It said, these cards are from 12-year-old Preston Wells, better known as the P-Man. He's 12 years old. He's at Children's Hospital with stage 4 cancer. He loves WIVK and wanted to do these cards, and he hopes they help somebody. He wrote 136 cards.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So then I call his dad yesterday. His dad's name is Randy, and I talked to Randy, and I said, we'd love to talk to Preston. And what you don't know, Nancy, is we met Preston last year when we went to Children's Hospital. He was the young man that we walked into his room. He was sitting on his bed.
Yep.
And we brought him toys. I forgot if it was Halloween.
We went trick-or-treating.
And on the phone, at Children's Hospital right now is Preston the P-Man. Good morning, Preston.
Good morning.
Hi, Preston. How you doing, bud?
Good.
Preston wrote 136 cards for the troops, and I thought this is such an example of doing something good in the face of a tough situation.
Absolutely.
Preston, why don't you tell us a little bit about your situation and why you wrote these cards, and just bring us up to speed on what's going on with you, buddy.
P-Man's nervous, but...
Oh, you don't have to be nervous, bud. It's
this is
us.
Randy. This is Dad. Hi, Randy. It's good to talk to you again, buddy.
Hey, good morning. Hey, P-Man wants to thank all of his friends. We live in Roane County, and so many people has prayed for him and loved him and been there for him. And Preston knows what sacrifice is. He knows what struggle is. He knows what being scared is. And every time he has the opportunity to help somebody or to encourage somebody, that's what P-Man's really about. And P-Man, try to talk to him some. Tell him,
hey,
just
buddy.
Tell him how you feel, okay?
How you doing, Preston? It's good to talk to you, buddy.
Good to talk to you, too.
Hey, Preston. Yeah, go ahead.
I just, Papa came in and said, hey, they're doing a thing for the army. I was like, all right, I'm going to make cards for all of them. So I was like, all right, yeah, I already had my mind set on it. Then I was like, all right, I want to do it. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make cards for all of them.
Dude, does your hand hurt? Because that's 136 cards, bud.
Well, wait till you find out. Hey, Randy, Preston, why don't we tell them what you did? Earlier this year, you wrote 200-some cards. Who'd you write them for?
I wrote them for...
The Roane County Jail.
The Roane County Jail for the men's and women's.
The inmates.
Why'd you do that?
I done them for because some people, like, in there, they don't have a family to write them a card to say Merry Christmas or nothing like that. So I was like, hey, keep your head up. And now I'm saying Merry Christmas to you.
You are my hero.
How you doing over there, Preston? You want to bring us up to speed on how everything that's going on, buddy, or maybe Randy?
Well, Preston's getting to go home today. When the doctors can't do nothing else, Preston knows that God's still got him. God's holding him and hugging him and loving him, and God's guiding.
Yep.
When Preston was 8 years old, he went to Bible school, and he got saved. About 2 weeks after that, they diagnosed him with cancer, and they told us that if they didn't get treatment started right away, that he wouldn't live. And Preston told the doctors here at the hospital, he said, "Dr. Corns, I cannot start my treatments. I can't do nothing right now. I have to be baptized." And they said, "Preston, you don't have time." And he said, "No, I have to be baptized." They said, "Okay, P-Man, you go home, get baptized, get back in here." And God's had him for 4 years, and Preston's still fighting. Preston's still loving. Preston's still giving. And during this holiday season, hey, man, just help somebody else, pay it forward.
Yeah.
P-Man's that guy in the McDonald line that pays for your meal behind you.
Cheeseburgers for everybody.
There you go.
I just think, like, if you have some pain in your life, if you give some or try to help someone else, it will make you feel good inside and won't make you feel as bad. You'll be like, "Hey, I'm glad I done that," and stuff like that. Otherwise, you should always be nice and be thankful and be...
It's a stack of cards.
That's awesome.
He hands me the bag, and he says, "Read this card," and it's one orange card. And so I'm going to read it to you.
There we go.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. You know, I get it. We think life is tough. My job is hard. I don't get paid enough. I don't really have time to be salt and light for the world. What happened to us?
Society.
Yeah. I think we've lost our perspective. I think there are some of us who are dangerously close to losing our saltiness and letting our light go out. But let's decide together to be the salt and to be the light. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Not just salt for your neighborhood or for the city where you live, but there's enough salt and enough light for the entire world. One last thing, I was kind of checking out the demographics of Summit County. 46% of people living in Summit County claim to be religious. Now it'd be really easy to sit here and go, "Well, where are they?" But what that says to me is that there is tremendous potential for growth. Because the number, 46% of the people in Summit County is 247,020 that claim to be religious. That means that only 0.03% are here today. But we have to recognize our role in that. Let's be the salt and light in our area so that healthy things can begin to grow again. If you're here today and you would like to make that decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, like Preston, say, "I'm tired of waiting. I want to do it today." Water's hot. We can do it today. Or if you're ready to place your membership here with us at First Church, we want to invite you to do that as well. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Dear God, Lord, we take so many things for granted in this life. You've given us a commission. And Lord, on so many levels, we're coming up short. I pray that we would make that decision to be salt and light for this world. If not us, then who? Lord, give us the conviction daily to be salt and light for this world. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.